to ministry.
Codex messages, as you all know, we talk about a subject from the point of view of what the Bible says about that subject specifically. Yeah? And like we break it down and we see the truth behind it. So ministry, when I say that word, what comes to mind? Chuck, tell me some things. What comes to mind when I say the word ministry?
Service.
Great. Really good. What else? Or what image comes to mind, if not a word?
Worship.
Oof. Says one of the worship team. What's up?
One of the worship team has entered, yes.
Come. What else?
Giving back to God.
Giving back to God. Respect. What else?
Devotion.
Huh?
Devotion.
Devotion. Respect. All right. Go to the next slide. So some of us, when we hear the word ministry, we might think of this kind of picture. Come on in. You could have come through that door, that's fine.
No, it was a tight squeeze.
So yeah, when we hear the word ministry, some of us might picture this kind of guy. What's up? Welcome. Come on in. We probably shouldn't have sat in the semicircle after all. So, I got a PowerPoint, so you might want to, like, turn around a bit, or maybe just crane your heads. It's fine, it's okay. Okay, yeah, that's a good idea. That way, everyone will come through the front door. It's great. All right, so tonight we're talking about ministry, for those of you who just entered in bulk. Oof, what's that? Is there a referee in the middle? Okay, let's turn our phones on silent if you haven't already. So, ministry. Some of us, when we hear the word ministry, we might picture this kind of picture behind you right there. Krolos, you may turn around. I give you permission. And that is of some guy preaching from a pulpit. Some guy waving his hands like I'm doing right now, Morella, and saying these words and holding a Bible in one hand or an iPad in one hand and shaking a finger at other people with the other hand, right? Or you can see this picture in your head. Some guy standing up the front with a guitar and a microphone with a crowd of people and the lights dim. And that he's leading them in worship, that kind of ministry. Some of you might picture this. Some missionary somewhere in Africa teaching a bunch of African school children about God or, you know, healing the sick or whatever else. Some of you, on the other hand, might picture this. Maybe washing someone's feet. Does that come to mind when you think of the word ministry? Ew, that's a bit random. What about this one? Feeding someone or giving someone clothing that they might need or sheltering them if they have no home. What about this picture? Visiting someone in prison, someone who's low of the low, isolated, cast out, shunned by society, called a bad person, visiting them, giving some time to them. Go to the next slide, Daniel, please. So what is ministry? Ministry isn't necessarily leading someone from a pulpit, sharing a message. It isn't worshiping, leading people in worship. It isn't necessarily going out in the middle of nowhere and preaching God's word or giving stuff to people who are isolated and alone. No. Ministry is very simply the word that David used, which is serving God. In fact, in the Greek, the original Greek that the New Testament was written, the word for ministry is the word diakonio, which I butchered the pronunciation of, but that literally means serving. Serving. You know, there's another similar word by the name of doulio, which is sometimes used as well when it talks about ministry in the New Testament. And that actually means to serve as a slave. To serve as a slave. So that's what ministry is. Ministry is literally serving other people. But ministry to God is serving other people with the name and the title of Jesus on us, right? We're doing it for God, to others, for ultimately His glory, for God's glory, right? In Jesus' name. That's what ministry is. So, we've got a basis foundation, I hope, in what ministry is. Let's move on and let's talk about What does it look like? So we had a few pictures before, and we're gonna read through a passage together, because I really think that this passage gives us a few key ideas about what ministry looks like. So let's read it. It's in Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 to 46. Have a look at it if you can't see it from where you're sitting right now. Turn around, gaze upon it. That's right, you too. All right, you ready? We're going to read it together. Does anyone want to read it? Shall we read it together or should I just read it? All right, fine. Okay, here we go. So beginning from verse 31, it says this: When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. By the way, this is Jesus talking. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance. The kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you? The king will reply, Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. In verse 41 it goes on and it says, Then he will say to those on his left, Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. They will also answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick in prison or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, Truly, I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. What does that strike you with? What kind of, like that story said by Jesus about at the end of days when we're all standing before God, two groups of people, one on his left, one on his right, a group of them who followed after him, who served others, who did things for other people, who gave selflessly of themselves, they are invited into God's kingdom. The other people, though, who lived selfishly, who didn't do anything for other people, these people, they were not invited into God's kingdom, and instead they were cast away. What does this make you feel? How do you feel about after we read this? What does ministry look like by us reading this passage together? What are some things that, what does this passage give you an idea of what ministry looks like?
Putting others before yourself.
Perfect. Exactly right. You put others before yourself. Remember that dioluo, whatever word? To serve as a slave. What do slaves do? Do slaves have their own lives? No. The slaves are in service to their master. We are to serve as slaves. We put others first. What else does this passage give you? What does ministry look like from this passage that we read? Anything. All right, cheat sheet. Let's look at the next slide and we'll see some points. So first, it's practical. It's helpful, right? Serving ministry is meant to be helpful. If you are ministering, if you are saying that you're ministering and serving God and you're being impractical or unhelpful to someone, you're not serving God. If I'm standing in front of you guys and I'm saying words to you that are unhelpful or impractical or make you feel bad or low or feel like you can't come close to God, I'm not ministering to him. Even if I'm saying everything word for word from the Bible and I'm not making you grow and come into deeper relationship with him, I'm not serving God. I'm not ministering. I'm not doing it properly. In fact, I'm probably doing it badly and I'm probably going to be judged for it by God in eventually at the end of days. If I go and I worship God, if I'm leading worship, and I do it in such a way where I'm discouraging people from worshiping God, I'm not bringing them closer to him through worship. I'm not ministering properly. I may as well sit down and not minister. If I am going to a soup kitchen to worship or to minister to God, to serve God and others, and I'm doing it going like, oh man, why am I here? Here, take your soup or whatever, and pushing homeless people along. If I'm doing it with an angry or a sad or a whatever heart that isn't filled with love and a desire to help others around me, I'm not serving God. I'm not ministering. Does that make sense? It needs to be practical. It needs to be helpful. It needs to eventually have some benefit for those, either physically, you know, it's going to give them something they need, or spiritually, it's going to bring them closer to God, or a mixture. But it has to be helpful. It has to be practical. Ministry looks like, from this passage, it looks like sacrifice, right? Touching on what David said. It's giving everything to other people. Giving someone food when they're hungry means that I will have less food for me. Giving someone drink to someone who doesn't have a drink means I have less drink for me. Giving someone clothes to someone who has no clothes means I have less clothes for me. Visiting someone in prison, someone who's thought of as bad or whatever else, it means that I have to give up maybe a sense of pride, maybe a sense of worry about what other people will think. It means I have to give up a little bit of myself, at least, at the very least, give up a bit of my time to go visit someone, right? All the things that we do for God, it's sacrificial. There is nothing you can do for God. There's no ministry that you can do that won't involve a bit of sacrifice. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you serve God, and I honestly believe every single one of us in this room are called to serve God, you need to know that you're in for sacrifice. You know, Jesus says, in many of the Gospels, he says, any of you who want to follow me, you have to take up your cross. Now, a cross, this was before Jesus was crucified, right? Before he was actually put on a literal cross. But a cross to his disciples and to everyone at the time, the most torturous, evil weapon of murder that was ever invented. So Jesus was saying, if you want to follow me, you have to be prepared to take on the most evil, torturous form of murder or form of sacrifice available to follow me. It's not an easy road. If you want to serve God, and in fact, we are all called to serve God, you need to know you're in for sacrifice. This passage also makes us see that it looks, serving God and ministry looks very humble, right? If you look back at what the people were saying when Jesus was talking to them, and he was saying, you fed me, you clothed me, you gave me drink, you blah, 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 blah. And then they're like, when did we do this for you? When, like, I don't remember. That's a very humble response, right? It's not like, yeah, you're welcome, Jesus. No worries, man. my pleasure. No, humility. Like, when, Lord, when did we do this for you? Are you sure? Are you mistaken? I mean, I would have loved to, but are you sure? We need to approach any ministry role, any act of service to others and to God with humility. There is no way, there is absolutely no way that you can stand up here and worship, or you can lead a message, or you can go and give people food in a soup van, or even the Operation Christmas Child we did. There is no way you could do this unto God without having a spirit of humility, saying to him, Father, everything you've given me, I give back to you for your glory, because it's never mine to begin with. And so with humility and with absolute thanks, I give back whatever I can to you. Whatever gifts, talents, or resources you've given me, I give back to you for your glory, right? So humility, humbleness, you can't, especially for you guys who are already, so you cannot stand up the front and think in your heart or in your mind, here I am leading worship or sharing a message or whatever, and time to save the day. I'll tell you a story. There are many times when in work, so you guys know I do anesthetics. Part of the job of anesthetics is you're called to all the emergencies in the hospital. And what that means is whenever anyone in the hospital, whether it's the emergency department or any of the wards around, whenever they're struggling with a patient, whenever a patient's about to have an arrest or die in whatever fashion, they will call a code blue. If you're ever in a hospital and you hear code blue, something major is going down, okay? And code blue is the warning sign to the anesthetist especially that they need to leave the operating theater or wherever they are in the hospital and go there straight away. Because the anesthetist's job in a code blue is to manage the airway. Now, if any of you guys have ever done basic first aid, you'll know that the hierarchy of managing someone who's critically injured or sick is ABC, airway, breathing, circulation. Airway comes first. Anesthetists, they manage the airway. They're the most vital part of entering this emergency scenario, right? Now, here's the thing. I've been attending all of these code blues and these emergencies in the hospital. And there are times when you hear the code blue and you go on, you grab your gloves and you start sprinting to wherever they call the code blue. There are times in my mind where I think, here I go, saving the day. And you can never, ever have that motivation or that thought in your mind if you ever want to serve God. So I have to repent after I do that. And sometimes God teaches me a lesson by saying, look, you couldn't do this by yourself, you had to call for help. But anyway, that's another story for another day. So, humility. The last thing is, what does ministry look like? It looks like it comes from a place of love and relationship. You see, Jesus didn't say, well done, you served me well, and so, you know, like, you know, you've got the Holy Spirit. You call me Father and Savior and Lord, and you serve me appropriately. Come on into heaven. It's not like a checklist thing, right? It wasn't like you fulfilled your criteria, check. That's not the point of this. The point of this is that Jesus said, you clothed me, you fed me, you helped me, you visited me, you invited me in. They said, when did we do this? Whenever you did this for any of these little ones, any of these precious ones, any of these ones that I love, whenever you did it for any of these people, you did it to me. It comes from a place of relationship. It comes from a place of love. It comes from a place of, I want to help other people. I want to show love to them. So don't think you can go to a soup van, you can lead worship, you can preach, you can invite your friends to camp and say, well, checklist done. I served God today. I can feel good about myself. No. It comes from a place of love and relationship. You need to love them first. You need to be in relationship with them first before you can ever think of showing them God's love and serving God through whatever He's called you to serve Him through. Okay? So that's what ministry looks like. But I have another question. Who's called to minister? Who? We kind of touched on this. Anyone? Phoebe, who's called to minister? Everyone. Oof, look at the, not the next slide, actually, because the next slide is a chapter that we're going to read. But yeah, you're right. Spoiler alert, you're right. So John chapter 13, we're going to look at this, and where Phoebe's point is going to be proven from God's word itself, all right? So you ready? Let's have a look at this. John 13, verses 1 to 17. It says this. You still want me to read? Anyone sick of my voice? You guys want to read? Oh, you like my voice. I'm flattered. All right. So John 13, verses 1 to 17. It says this. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Now, FYI, I've underlined a few things. Take note of them. They are important. Okay? Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Oh, Peter. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "just not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean, and you are clean, though not every one of you," for he knew who was going to betray him. And that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Ladies and gentlemen, what do we get from this story? What do you guys think? So who's called to serve? How does that prove Phoebe's point, which is everyone's called to serve? What do you get from that story? Who's called to minister? Everyone? How does that story prove the point? Now let's talk about washing people's feet, okay? Because it's not something we do very regularly nowadays in our society, right? Can anyone tell me what washing someone's feet meant in this day and age, this society that they lived in? What's the importance behind it? Rachel. You didn't make eye contact. Tell me. I'm glad I asked you. So the question was, washing people's feet. What's up with that? In a nutshell.
Huh? What are you asking me?
I'm asking you why. Who washed people's feet in this society, and why did people wash people's feet? That's right. So servants washed people's feet, right? And why? Why did they do it?
Because they're servants.
But why washing the feet?
Because they're disgusting.
Right. They are. Absolutely right. So here's the... No. Exactly right. Rachel. Everyone, round of applause for Rachel, because that was right. Rachel, Masters in Theology. No. Yeah. You've just achieved your Masters in Theology. You're right. Here's the thing. You're absolutely right. The thing is, people back then had sandals, right? Yeah? So Emmy's wearing first century sandals that they would have, well, not exactly, they're more modern, they're nicer looking. But essentially, what Emmy's wearing right now, that's what people of the day would have worn, even guys, right? They're walking around with these sandals. Now, those places didn't have roads, right? The Roman Empire introduced roads around about that time, but, you know, in general, they didn't really have roads. And if they were roads, they were dirt roads, and animals were walking all over them and pooping all over them, and it was disgusting, right? So here's the thing. At the end of a long, hard day, they were walking around in these poopy, dirty roads, and they entered a person's home who was rich and wealthy. What was the expected thing to happen next? As Rachel insightfully told us, the servant would come and would clean those disgusting feet. Why the servant? Because no one else would want to touch those feet, right? And it was a marker of, welcome to my home, welcome to my place. Here's a refreshing thing to do for you as you recline into a comfortable environment, and I'm showing you pampering, I'm giving you, you know, the things that are due to a visitor who is welcome into my home, and welcome, right? And the servant was the one that did this. Now Jesus did this. Why? Because he wanted to show his disciples very simply that he was serving them, right? Now, there are a few important points that we should take away from this story about who is to serve and even how we're to serve as well. Daniel, please, next slide, enlighten us. So, any and every follower of Jesus is expected to minister, to serve him, to serve God, right? Any and every. How do we know this? Because Jesus himself said to his disciples, the ones who followed him, the ones who journeyed with him, he said to them, "Look at what I've done to you. What I've done for you right now, it's not something that I want you to forget." In fact, this was at the final feast he was going to have with them before he went to his death. One of his final acts to them, to wash their feet. He wanted them to remember this moment. He wanted them to know what he was doing in this moment. And he said to them, as I've done for you, you do for each other and everyone. You do not think of yourself as anyone who's not worthy to bow down before someone else and wash their feet. You need to be the person that expects and wants to bow down before someone else and wash their dirty, stinking feet. Why? Two reasons. Because Jesus did it first, and because you love God. The whole thing is that Jesus didn't forget who he was. It wasn't coming from a place of false humility or like, oh, no, 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 Peter, you're so much better than me. Look, let me bow down before you and wash your feet. No, Jesus knew exactly who he was in that moment. He got up, he went to his disciples, he washed their feet, and then he said, who am I? They said, your teacher and Lord. He said, that's right. You know who I am before you. So here's the thing. Serving others isn't about false humility. It's not about going down to someone else and, oh, pardon me, sorry. So look, what can I do for you? I'm but a lowly Christian. No. You know your value. You know your value in Christ as well as your value as a human being intrinsically, made in the image of God with your own gifts and talents and abilities, right? You know your value. And out of that value, you serve. Why? To serve God, to show him love and adoration, and to give back to him because he did it first, right? And the other thing that I want to point out as well is something that Simon Peter, good old Peter, mistook as well. See, Jesus wasn't making the point here about like, Peter, he saw Jesus kneel down before his feet and wash his feet, and he's like, no, you, how dare you touch my feet and wash them? You know, you're too above this, Jesus. Jesus here said to him, buddy, relax. You have to let me do this for you, because if you don't let me do this for you, then you're not a part of me. In other words, if you don't let me serve you, and this ministry of service, this ministry of love that Jesus set up on earth, if you don't engage in that, you're not a part of him. It's that simple. If you're not engaging in love and in service and in ministry to other people, you're not a part of Jesus. You're not reflecting his heart. The Holy Spirit isn't prompting. Where's the growth? Where's the development in your relationship with him? Because out of the love that you have for Christ, out of the love you have for Jesus, that natural outpouring of love to others will come. So if you don't let him do this to you and you do it back, you're not a part of him and he's not a part of you. But Peter, he took that to mean, well, then wash me all, Lord. And he took it to mean maybe as some kind of like, heal me, save me from myself, make me clean. You know, is it a sin thing? And Jesus is like, relax, man. No, you've already been washed clean. Your body's clean. It's not a matter of sin. It's not a matter of evil. It's not a matter of you and I not being really. It's a matter of being close to me. So service is a matter of being close to Jesus. So if we don't engage in serving and ministering to others in the name of Jesus, you aren't coming close to him. It's part and parcel. Coming close to him means serving others and vice versa. Okay? You know his heart when you serve others, and he delights in you when you serve others. So, last question I have for you all. Who do I minister to? Oh, what a great question. I wonder who thought of this fantastic slideshow. Who do I minister to? Well, some question. And here's the thing. We're going to go around in a circle, all right? Beginning from this side, because this side's the quieter side. So, Andrew, who do I minister to? Everyone? Krollis, do you agree or disagree?
What's the right answer?
I don't know, man. You tell me. There is no right answer. I will accept anything you say.
Everything. Everyone seems like the right answer.
I like that answer. What about you, Steph?
Everyone.
Matthew?
Everyone.
Daniel, right? Is it Daniel? Yeah? What do you think?
I don't know.
That's fine. Shady, what do you reckon? Jeeves. All right, we'll stop there because... All right, here's the thing. You ready? Let's look at the next. Let's look at the next passage. So it comes from Mark chapter 10, verses 42 to 45. Ready? Jesus again talking. It's awesome when Jesus talks, don't you reckon? It's pretty cool. All right, so Mark chapter 10, verse 42 to 45. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." So who do I minister to? Servant of? Steph? Servant of?
Everyone.
All! That's right! Servant of all. Next slide. Very, very simple point here. So who do I minister to? We're a servant or a slave of all. Just as Jesus gave himself for everyone. You see, not everyone will want to accept your service, right? Not everyone will flock to you when you invite them to camp. We'll be like, oh, yes, yes, yes. But that doesn't mean that you try to not serve them in the first place, right? Not everyone will worship when you lead them in worship. But that doesn't mean you don't serve God by trying to lead people in worship. Not everyone will think that your preaching is great. Trust me. Trust me, all right? Not everyone will think that your preaching is great. But that doesn't mean that you don't try to speak God's word to others. The whole thing is this. We serve all. Not everyone will want your clothes. But that doesn't mean that if you have an excess and if God's called you to give your clothes to people in need, you don't give them. You give them. If, you know, etc. In whatever way God calls you to serve, some people won't want a part of it. Some people won't care for it. Some people will reject it. But that doesn't mean you don't go out and do it in the first place. And that also doesn't mean that you don't try because you think that they won't want it in the first place. I've heard a lot of you guys say to me, you know, I ask, who are you going to invite to camp? Who are you going to invite to the message with this guest speaker or whatever this week? Who are you going to invite? And you're like, nah, I don't know. Look, none of my friends will really want to come. And you don't invite anyone because that's your train of thought. That is wrong. If you have a heart to serve God and you really honestly feel that they might get some benefit out of it and you love them and you know that God maybe wants you to do this, then you serve them regardless of whether or not they'll say yes or no. You serve them. Yeah? But let's go to the next slide. I hear many of you asking me... Next slide, Daniel. Ah, okay. My bad, sorry. Okay, sorry, I thought I made another point there. Ignore me. So the next question then is, how do I minister? And this is the last point before we wrap up. So how do I minister? What do you guys reckon? Now, this time going around this way. How do I minister, Mary?
Can I say everyone?
No. It doesn't apply. I'll question your English capabilities.
I don't know.
Okay, that's all right. Morello, what do you reckon?
Preaching.
Okay, preaching. What do you reckon, Phoebe?
So I don't know, just do what God intends you to do for everyone.
Okay, do what God intends you. I like that. Mitch, what do you reckon? Yeah? Be a witness. Respect. Beck?
I think, like, just like for yourself, like, you have got, like, character and show love.
Nice. Very good. Steph?
I think, I mean, each person has their own gift, so I think with their gift, through their gift, then it's minister.
Beautiful answer. Oof. I like that. We might even come back to that point. David, what do you reckon? That point? Okay, we'll stop it there then. So Colossians chapter 3, that's our next thing. So Colossians 3 says this. You ready? Whatever, we're just going to read two verses from Colossians 3, verse 17 and then 23, okay? And it says this. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Verse 23 says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Whatever you do, it doesn't matter what's happened during a week. Mattia, what's happened during your week this week? Tell me about school life. What's happened in school?
It's good.
It's good? Yeah. Any tests, assignments, any friends that have talked to you about whatever challenging thing? What?
Music cat.
What's that? Okay, all right. Pardon my ignorance. It's been many years since I've been in school. So, cool. So, here's the thing, Morello. Sorry, Mattia. Mattia, two M's. Anyway, sorry. It's been a long day for me. So, here's the thing. Whatever you do, right? So, you got this assessment task. Whatever you do unto God, can you serve God through this assessment task? Can you minister to Him or to others? How? Whatever you do that test well. You do that assessment well. What about you, Steve? What's been going on during the week?
Quizzes, assignments, a whole lot.
Yeah? Whatever you do. What about you, Dave? Boring on school. Any friends or anything like that that I believe you may have committed to something in your commitments during our mentor group? Okay. Well, point is, friendships, whatever you do, like literally, I'm not even talking here about sharing God with your friends. I'm literally just talking about your friendships. Do them well. Be a good friend. Be someone who's loyal and loving. Show Christ through your friendships. That is service. That is ministry. So, so how do I minister? Let's go to the next. So to summarize, how do I minister? So helping people when you see a need. So if your friends are struggling with something, if a family member is struggling with something, and you can help them out with that, serve God and minister to them by helping them out with their need. Fulfilling your commitments diligently and enthusiastically. Mattia has her assessment tasks. You guys have your assessment tasks, your uni assignments. Serving God, ministry, means doing that with all your effort and all your might and unto God Himself. Showing love and respect and humility to others in word and deed. See, every single person, they have that need, right? Every single person has the need to be respected and to be loved. So you know what? If you can meet that need, your ministry, you're serving God. Do you get what I'm saying here? And using your gifts and talents for God. I have a good voice. Serving God means using it for Him. I can teach people stuff. Serving God means teaching them stuff, either professionally or personally. I can preach. I can whatever, I can blank, whatever it is for you, I can use that gift or talent that God gave you Himself for Him. That's ministry. That's serving Him. That's how you do it. But I can ask you, I'm sure you guys are asking me now, be practical, David. That's just saying a whole bunch of stuff that we all kind of probably assumed in the first place. So, fine. Okay. Fine. I will be practical for you. Let's read Romans 12, and then we're going to wrap up, okay?
Yeah.
Huh? No, that was the last point I was going to make before I read that, and this is the last point I was making. So this is literally the last slide, okay? You ready? Romans 12, chapter 12, verse 6 to 8. It says this, "We have different gifts to serve God with, according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it's serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it's to encourage, then give encouragement. If it's giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, then do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully." How many of you guys prophesy? Do you know what prophecy is? Was that a hand up? No? Okay. Okay. What's prophecy? I will go to you if no one else speaks up. So, someone save Steph. Okay, Stephanie, what's prophecy?
Prophecy is just basically like when you. Can I just give an example?
Yeah.
Like go up to someone and you'd be like, oh, I feel like you're going to be an amazing speaker, kind of thing in the future. It's kind of predicting the future in a way, but it's not predicting the future. Really
yep. It is hard to explain, you're right, but that's a great example. Here's the thing. Here's what prophecy is. You ready? In a nutshell. Prophecy is speaking God's word to someone else. Pure and simple. Speaking God's word to someone else. It doesn't have to be telling the future. It doesn't have to be like, your baby will be, you know, a boy and it shall have, you know, it doesn't have to be that. It doesn't have to be, you know, King David, because of your great sin, you shall, blah, blah, blah. No, it doesn't have to be some tale of what God will do or won't do. Or no, it's just simply, Stephanie's example was perfect. God can use you as a preacher to someone. If God reveals to you, hey, this someone can actually preach, this someone can actually be, is gifted by the Holy Spirit to speak and to preach and share God's word to others, and God prompts you with that attitude and that feeling, going up and saying to them that exact same thing is prophecy. It's sharing God's word with someone else. If it is a Bible verse, and then you as you read that Bible verse, you're like, man, that really reminds me of what Stephen was telling me the other day. And I go and I tell Stephen, hey, you remember how you were talking to me the other day? I read this verse and I really felt like it was from you, from God for you. That's prophecy. That's prophecy. It's not crazy. It doesn't have to be. Sometimes it is, but it doesn't have to be. Here's the thing. If you've ever had that, you are a prophet of God. In fact, we kind of all are prophets to God to this broken world. But specifically, if you've ever had those attitudes or thoughts, your gift, your ministry, your service to God, that's potentially it. How many of you... So serving here in this capacity is serving as a slave, is giving to others of everything. So in other words, I can serve you by stacking up the chairs or laying out the chairs before a meeting. If that's what your ministry is, then do it. That's what this here is talking about, the service attitude here. If I can like bake muffins really well and I can bake them for other people to make them happy, and to bring a smile on their face and to share love's generosity and kindness with them, then you bake muffins. You bake them to your absolute wildest and hardest, because that's what serving God is about. That's ministry, right? So that's serving God. So here's the thing. Prophecy, many of you in this room will have that sense where you'll hear something, you'll read something from God's word, you'll be talking to someone, God will give you a prompting and you're speaking out. That's prophecy. So many of you will be that servant-hearted person. Whatever you can do for someone, you will do for them. That's ministry. Do that. Many of you will be teachers. I know one teacher who legitimately does it for a job. Many of you here actually have a heart for teaching people as well and can do it. Sunday school, youth, whatever, you can do it. And so teach people. Teach them. And eventually even professionally teach them. That's serving God by the gifts and the talents he's given you. Encouraging people, that is serving, that is ministry to God. The opposite of that, though, is saying bad words to other people, discouraging them, gossiping, slandering. These words are not serving God. In fact, these words are damaging. These words are damaging not just to the other person, but damaging to God's heart himself. So here's the thing. We are all called to encourage, by the way. It's not like, oh, I don't feel like I'm gifted in that, I'm not going to encourage others. No, no, we're all called to build each other up, to encourage, to love. But here's the thing. If you specifically feel the prompting of the Holy Spirit, hey, David, you can serve me by encouraging someone, especially when you see them down, then you serve God. You minister to that person. You encourage them. If it's giving, then give. You get the point, right? If it's leading, then lead. If it's showing mercy, if it's showing a heart of generosity of spirit where someone might not even deserve a kind word or a helping hand, but you have mercy on them, the Holy Spirit says to you, no, that's my heart for this person, which I can tell you now is God's heart for everyone, then you do that. Yeah? So how do I practically serve God? Romans 12, 6 to 8 has a pretty good list, but it's not an exhaustive list. There are many other ways that you can serve him. preaching, teaching, worship, leading, serving, generosity, giving, etc., etc. You name it. You can serve God in whatever and in anything that you put your hand to. The only thing that you need to do is to have a heart that is completely surrendered to Him in love, and a mind. Remember last week we talked about do? Don't try, do. You need to have a mind to decide that, to serve God, to say, yeah, I will sacrifice, I will give of myself, not for my sake and not even necessarily for the other person's sake, but Lord, for your sake. Okay? That's all I have to share with you tonight. But I want to take this time now to pray together, and then I want to challenge all of you. While we're praying and in your mentor groups, I want to challenge you to talk and ask God and struggle with Him and to talk with your mentor leader about how you can serve God. Because ladies and gentlemen, if you're a follower of Jesus, if you're someone that calls Him Lord and teacher, then you need to follow His example. You need to wash other people's feet. And if you love Him with all your heart, then you need to know that you're in for sacrifice. You're in for a hard time, but it's a time worth giving, because ultimately it brings you closer to Him, and ultimately it makes Him smile, makes Him say, well done, good and faithful servant, makes Him welcome you into His kingdom. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for my brothers and sisters here tonight, Lord. I thank you for the love that you have for each of us, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you're a God who never wanted to take from us, Lord, but rather you were the God who wanted to give everything so that we could come to know you, Lord. Lord, we don't deserve your love, Lord, but you give it anyway. So, Lord, we give everything back to you. There's not enough that we can give to you, Lord. So we give everything. We give of our time. We give of our resources. We give of every gift and talent that you've given us, Lord. We give our pride. We give our rebellion. We give our sin. We give it all to you. And we say, we want to become more and more like you, and we want to make you happy. Lord, help us. Help us know how to serve you. Help us know what will make you happy. Help us know in what way we can be effective for your kingdom, Lord. And Lord, please give us a time now where we can discuss these things openly, Lord, and with love, and challenge us, Lord. We don't want to leave this place the same, Lord. We want to leave this place closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.